جميعا ورحمة الله وبركاته. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، الحمد لله الذي يجيبني حين أناديه ويستر علي كل عورة وأنا أعصيه، ويعظم النعمة علي فلا أجازيه. نحمده ونسبحه ونقدسه على آلائه ونعمائه، ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، إلها واحدا أحدا فردا صمدا قيوما. نؤمن له بالربوبية ونقر له بالعبودية. من يهدي الله فهو المهتدي، ومن يضلل فلن تجد له وليا مرشدا. ونشهد أن سيدنا محمدا عبده ورسوله، أرسله بالهدى ودين الحق ليظهره على الدين كله. اللهم صلي وسلم وبارك وترحم على محمد وآل محمد، كأفضل ما صليت وسلمت وباركت وترحمت على إبراهيم وآل إبراهيم في العالمين، إنك حميد مجيد. وصل اللهم وسلم على جميع الأنبياء والمرسلين والأوصياء والصديقين والشهداء والصالحين، وعترة نبيك الطيبين الطاهرين، والصفوة من أصحابه المخلصين، ومن تبعهم بإحسان وإيمان إلى يوم الدين. عباد الله، أوصيكم وأوصي نفسي بتقوى الله ولزوم أمره. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها الذين آمنوا لا تتخذوا عدوي وعدوكم أولياء تلقون إليهم بالمودة وقد كفروا بما جاءكم من الحق، يخرجون الرسول وإياكم أن تؤمنوا بالله ربكم. صدق الله العلي العظيم. One of the challenges that we Muslims in America face, the social challenges, is the diversity and the division with one family. Meaning that you could find in one family some members are Muslims and some members are non-Muslims, or some members of a family are devout and others are non-devout. Some of them are practicing and others are non-practicing. And we can find it in almost every family. Almost every family of the Muslims who live in the West, we can see this. If I want to use a nice word, I say diversity. If I want to be very serious, I say division. In the doctrines and in the religious association and religious commitment. And the question is, how do we deal with these differences? What is our responsibility? If you have in your family some members are non-Muslims, they don't share the religion with you, or some of them they are Muslims but they are non-practicing or non-devout, or some of them they don't like Islam, they are Muslims but they say we don't like this religion, how should we deal with such examples? What does the Holy Quran say about that? The Holy Quran states that there are two types of non-believers within your family. Two types. The Holy Quran categorizes them into two sections. He says some of them are non-hostile, peaceful. They say we are Muslims or we are non-Muslims, but we have nothing to do with you. We are not against you. They do not propagate, neither they work against you. But they are non-Muslims, or non-believers, or non-practicing. But there is some peace between you and them. They are non-hostile. And those people, Allah says about them in Surah Al-Mumtahana, chapter number 40, 60 in the Holy Quran, Allah says, لَا يَنْهَاكُمُ اللَّهُ عَنِ الَّذِينَ لَمْ يُقَاتِلُوكُمْ فِي الدِّينِ وَلَمْ يُخْرِجُوكُمْ مِنْ دِيَارِكُمْ أَنْ تَبَرُّوهُمْ وَتُقْسِطُوا إِلَيْهِمْ إِنَّ اللَّهَ يُحِبُّ الْمُقْسِطِينَ. The translation of this verse says that God does not forbid you from being just and kind to those non-Muslims within your community and your family. They live with you. But they did not do any act of aggression or hostility against you. They did not drive you out of your land based on your religious orientation or feelings. They did not do any act of aggression against you. God does not forbid you to be good and kind and just with them and to them. In another verse, God says, those people that sometimes you think he's not a practicing, he's not mu'min, or he's not a Muslim, not a believer, and you think he's your enemy, maybe one day God is going to create love and compassion among your hearts. عَسَى اللَّهُ أَن يَجْعَلَ بَيْنَكُمْ وَبَيْنَ الَّذِينَ عَادَيْتُمْ مِنْهُمْ مَوَدَّةً. Some of them now you consider, because they are non-Muslims or non-believers or non-practicing, they don't pray, they don't wear hijab, they don't do this, maybe you consider them as being enemies. But who knows, maybe tomorrow God is going to turn the hearts together, your hearts and their hearts, and you become friends. عَسَى اللَّهُ, perhaps your Lord. أَنْ يَجْعَلَ بَيْنَكُمْ, he creates between you, and those that you perceive them today as enemies and non-Muslims, مَوَدَّ. Allah bring friendship and مَوَدَّ and respect among your hearts. So this first group, the non-hostile people among our families and friends and community members, we have to be very careful in dealing with them. We have to be accommodating. Do good to them. Your goodness is going to change them one day. Your goodness may attract them to Islam, to practicing Islam. Do not give up on them. Don't give up on them, because they are not hostile. We come to the second group. The second group are those who are, they present and pursue their hostilities and their grudge and their hate towards you and your religion and your faith, and they plot against you. They degrade you. They ridicule you because you are a Muslim. You are a practicing Muslim. This group of people, they have to have a different sort of relationship with them. Someone who not only rejects you, but he's against you. He's against you. He does not want you to practice your religion. A father who's non-believer, non-practicing, when he sees his children going to the masjid, learning Islam, holding the Quran, praying, his daughter is observing the hijab, he becomes unhappy with that, frustrated. And he tries to stop them. He tries to fight with them to stop them from practicing their religion. And some parents, they go and buy books and bring CDs and they show it to their kids. See, this is Islam that you love. This is the Islam that you advocate. This is an act of hostility against Islam. This is not anymore a freedom of opinion or a freedom of speech. Someone who hates you, he does not tolerate you because you are practicing your religion. Or someone who is plotting against you to destroy you because you are practicing your religion, then you have to have a stand, a clear stand. So what does the Quran tell me here? Again, in Surah Al-Mumtahana, chapter number 60, verse number 9, Allah says, إِنَّمَا يَنْهَاكُمُ اللَّهُ عَنِ الَّذِينَ قَاتَلُوكُمْ فِي الدِّينِ وَأَخْرَجُوكُمْ مِنْ دِيَارِكُمْ أَنْ تَبَرُّوهُمْ وَتُقْسِطُوا إِلَيْهِمْ أَنْ تَوَلُّوهُمْ وَمَنْ يَتَوَلَّهُمْ فَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الظَّالِمُونَ. In the first verse, Allah said, God does not forbid you from doing goodness to the Jews and the Christians and some Muslims who are not a practicing fasiq, not a practice. He drinks alcohol, but he has no hostility against you. He does not practice Islam. But then on the other hand, he's not your enemy. He's not your enemy. He says, this is my way and this is your way, you know. Allah says, you may do good to them and you be equitable to them and just to them. They can be your friend. There is no danger in that. But the second group, those who are fighting you and plotting against you and hate you, they have zero tolerance for you. In this case, Allah says, "Antawaddu'tawalluhum." You cannot make friendship with them. Tawalluhum comes from walaya. And walaya, one of the meanings in the Arabic dictionary of walaya is a friendship. One of the meanings. Walaya has 20 meanings. 20 meanings in the Arabic literature. 20 meanings. One of them is a friendship. One of them is leadership, guardianship. Here in this context, Allah says, they should not be your friends anymore. Why? Because Allah says, you cannot keep in your heart the good and the evil in the same heart. You say, I love the good and I love the evil. I love the friend of God and I love the enemy of God. I love both of them in my heart. And you are a friend with both of them. This is a contradiction. You are fooling yourself. And this is exactly what Allah says in Surah Al-Mujadalah, chapter 58, verse 22. Allah says, لا تجد قوما يؤمنون بالله واليوم الآخر. If any person believes in God and the Day of Judgment, that person, يوادون من حد الله ورسوله, cannot be a friend with someone who is the enemy of God and the enemy of the Messenger of God. You cannot take that person as your friend. If you truly believe in God, monotheism, and the Day of Judgment, then in your heart there should be no place for someone who hates God and hates the Messenger of God. Even if that person is your father, your brother, وَلَوْ كَانُوا آبَاءَهُمْ, your son, your brother, or your family member. وَلَوْ كَانُوا آبَاءَهُمْ أَوْ أَبْنَاءَهُمْ أَوْ إِخْوَانَهُمْ أَوْ عَشِيرَتَهُمْ. You can't. Sometimes someone says to you, I am not a Muslim. لَكُمْ دِينُكُمْ وَلِيَ دِينِ. Leave me alone. I'm not a Muslim. I don't believe in God. But I have nothing against you. I will allow you to pray, to fast, to enjoy your religion. You don't interfere in my life. Neither I interfere in your life. We are independent. We live in America, free country. This is a different story. You still can have him as a father, as a brother, as a friend, as a co-worker. You don't discuss religion with him. But in this scenario here, someone who hates you and hates your religion and hates your prophet and hates your book and hates your practices, in this case, even if he's your biological father, you cannot be loyal to him. Even if he's your biological son or daughter or a brother or a family member, you can't have love in your heart for him. Here, you have to be strong. And this is one of the toughest tests that we face here. The toughest. How can I hate someone who belongs to my family? He's the enemy of God. How can I hate him? I cannot hate him because he's a member of my family. I have to hate him. This is what God says. And this is the concept of what in Islam? We have a bigger name for this. Huh? Remember the name? The concept of التولي لأولياء الله والتبري من أعداء الله. associating yourself with the friends of God's, with the friends of God's, awliyaullah, and dissociating yourself from the enemies of God. Not enemies only in their hearts, enemies with their actions, with their behavior. Sometimes someone does not love God, but he doesn't tell you. He keeps that in his heart. But someone who propagates and agitates, and he tries to brainwash others against God and against Islam and the Holy Quran, this is dangerous. He cannot be part of your family. And the best example of that person who had the courage to stay away from some members of his own family who were infidels and who were against God, is Ibrahim alayhi salam. The Quran says, قَدْ كَانَتْ لَكُمْ أُسْوَةٌ حَسَنَةٌ فِي إِبْرَاهِيمٍ. Take him as an example, learn from him. Learn from Ibrahim. وَالَّذِينَ مَعَهُ, and those of you who are around him, إِذْ قَالُوا لِقَوْمِهِمْ, they said to their community, they stood and they said to their own community, in their neighborhood, in the same neighborhood, people who were raised with them, they were playing together, socializing together, they said to them, إِنَّا بُرَاءُ مِنْكُمْ, we are clear of you. Bura, we reject you. We have no association with you. Inna bura'u minkum wa mimma ta'buduna min dunillah. And your doctrine of polytheism. We have no connection with you. You were our family members, but now since you declared war on us, bura'ah means I have no ties with you anymore. Inna bura'u minkum wa mimma ta'buduna min dunillah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Holy Quran, la tattakhidhu aduwi wa aduwakum awliya. This has consequences on your life. Don't take my enemies, Allah says, my enemies and your enemies, don't take them as a friend. Don't say I have business relationship with them, I'm making money, I have business relationship. Don't say this, because this has a consequences on your faith, on your family, on your religion. لا تتخذوا عدوي وعدوكم أولياء. Therefore, two groups. One, a group that they don't share religion with us. They don't share the madhab. They don't share religion. They don't share the faith. But yet they are peaceful. Allah says enjoy friendship with them. I am not saying don't talk to them. They are peaceful, they are non-hostile to you. But they have their own religion, it's okay to be with them. But with those who harbor hate against you, you cannot have relationship with them even though they are members of your own family. They are parents or brothers or sisters or children. You have to stay away, because either you say, I am with God and those who are with him, or I am against God. We cannot have both Allah and Shaytan in the same heart. We can't. This cannot happen. The most important concept in faith, al-hubbu fillahi wal-bughdu fillah. You love strangers. They could be strangers, not your race. They are not your race, not your color, not your language, not your culture. But they are the friends of God and you love them. And sometimes people, they are your race, your blood, your family, your relatives, your neighbors, but they are enemies of God. You cannot love those people. Al-hubbu fi Allahi wal-bughdu fi Allah. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Wal-asr inna al-insana lafi khusrin illa alladhina amanu wa amilu s-salihat wa tawasaw bil-haqqi wa tawasaw bil-sabr wa sallallahu wa sallama ala sayyidina Muhammadin wa ahli baytih al-tayyibin al-tahirin. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين نحمده ونسبحه ونقدسه على علائه ونعمائه ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأن سيدنا محمدا عبده ورسوله. أرسله بالهدى ودين الحق ليظهره على الدين كله. اللهم صل وسلم وبارك وترحم على محمد وآل محمد كأفضل ما صليت وسلمت وباركت وترحمت على إبراهيم وآل إبراهيم في العالمين إنك حميد مجيد. وصل اللهم وسلم على خلفاء نبيك وأهل بيته علي أمير المؤمنين وقائد الغر المحجلين وعلى البضعة الطاهرة فاطمة الزهراء سيدة نساء العالمين وعلى سبط نبي الرحمة وسيدي شباب أهل الجنة الحسن والحسين عليهما السلام وعلى علي بن الحسين ومحمد بن علي وجعفر بن محمد وموسى بن جعفر وعلي بن موسى ومحمد بن علي وعلي بن محمد والحسن بن علي والخلف الهادي المهدي عجل الله تعالى فرجه وسهل مخرجه وجعلنا من أنصاره وأعوانه. عباد الله أوصيكم وأوصي نفسي بتقوى الله ولزوم أمره. Today, the West have realized the danger that the violent extremism and ISIS pose, not only for the Muslims, but for the West as well. And the British Prime Minister was giving a lecture yesterday on the dangers of ISIS on the Europeans and the Americans. And they are thinking of ways of combating and confronting and preventing violent extremism. They are planning probably to bomb them in Iraq and sometimes maybe in the future in Syria and other places to prevent ISIS or ISIL from reaching European shores and American shores. But mostly they speak, when Barack Obama speaks about this and Mr. Cameron and others, European leaders, they speak about military options. We bomb them, we send our airplanes, we send our troops here or there. And we have seen for the last 20 years that bombing alone would not help. Bombing people would escalate the problem and it creates other organizations. They will multiply. We have to address the root cause of this problem. Why we have a problem like ISIS? Why hundreds of thousands of Muslim youth from coast to coast, from every Muslim country, including Europe, including America and Canada, are shifting their tendencies and their loyalties and their aspirations towards a group of thugs and murderers? What happened in Islam? What happened within the Muslim Ummah? What are the reasons? America does not want to speak about this, neither the Europeans, because they know they are guilty in this. They know they collaborated somehow in creating Osama bin Laden, creating Wahhabism, creating Al-Qaeda, and now creating ISIS and other radicals. So military options is not the solution, or not the only solution. I would say let the Europeans and the Americans, let them focus on their job, but we, the Muslim Ummah, we have a different task and a different responsibility and a different solution. We have to create a strategy within the Muslim communities, especially in America. Those who live in America, those who are going to be affected soon by the chaos created by ISIS. Soon, some of those fighters, some of those converts who went there and a few of them were killed, American converts, extremists, who were killed recently in Syria or Iraq, some of those are going to come back home ultimately. And they're going to pose a huge danger on our families and our youngsters and our children and our Islamic centers and our schools in America. So what can we do? We have to discuss this. What can we do to protect our Islam, our madhab, our Quran, our children from the danger of Al-Qaeda and ISIS? I think we all responsible, the scholars, the ulama, Islam, imams, Muslim leaders, Muslim educators, parents, mothers, fathers, family members, we are all responsible. We have a huge task of educating and discussing this issue, forewarning our children, discussing these issues with our family members. Around kitchen tables, we have to discuss this. A father should sit with his children, members of his family, the mother also. And we discuss, what is ISIS? Where did they come from? What they are doing? What is their aim? The aim is to establish Islamic Khilafah based on murder, based on blood, based on abusing and persecuting women, taking jizya from some Muslims and non-Muslims, give me extra tax because you are a non-Muslim, demolishing temples and churches and mosques. This is the Islamic Khilafah. This is the rule of jungle. This is a state of animals and beasts. This is not an Islamic state. We have to discuss this on a personal level. Our children, the youngsters, the teens, the youth, they should listen to this. And they should discuss it because they're going to be the victims. I listened to interviews with parents who their kids went and joined ISIS. And the father was saying, I was the last one to know. The mother was saying, I was the last one to know that my son, I saw his picture on Facebook. He didn't tell me. He said, I'm going to Yemen to study, to become imam and, you know, sheikh and this and that. All of a sudden, we see him carrying the gun and fighting and chanting death to this country and death to that country. Parents were the last people to know. And this is not good. This is not good because there is a disconnect between parents and their children. And this disconnect is creating these tendencies when the son, the daughter are not supervised. They enjoy full freedom here of associating themselves with any group. Then this is what happens. This is the responsibility of the parents. Hundreds of thousands of youth, my friends, huge numbers of them, who were failure in their school, most of them, they did not finish school. They were failures, dropouts, failure in their marriages, and failure in their life. Most of them are a graduate from prisons, UC prisons. You know. Most of them have terrible criminal records, those who are fighting along ISIS, those jihadis who carry the banner of La ilaha illallah, unfortunately. And they are fighting La ilaha illallah. They are with criminal, terrible criminal records of theft, of burglary, of rape, of murder in their communities. Now they want to establish Islam in the world. And they want to bring that Islam from Syria and Iraq to Europe and America. This is their record. So we have to take a proactive steps now. We don't wait for them to come. This is the responsibility of every person of us. If you are a father, listen. If you are a mother, listen. If you are a brother, listen to this. You have to sit with your children and discuss the issue of extremism in Islam. I hear some Muslim imams here in America, they say we have no extremism. Alhamdulillah, our children are saints, mashallah. They come with a parachute from paradise. This is not right. It's not right to lie. We have to admit. This is like when someone goes to a doctor and he tells him you have a cancer and he says to the doctor, shut up, I have no cancer. The doctor says, okay, you have no cancer. Enjoy your life. Denial. It's not good to deny. We have to face it. We do have extremism. We do have radicalism. We do have among our children in both traditions, in the Sunni, mostly in the Sunni, but also the Shias, they do have radicals and extremists and fanatics. We do have. And this is a mental disease. Radicalism is not the norm, is abnormality. This is a mental disease, a social disease, a religious disease, a moral disease. We have to face it. You should not be proud of your son if your son is born on this soil, raised on this soil, goes to school at this soil, does his PhD at this soil, gets money from the American government, and then he says death to America. Is this fairness? Is this Islam? This is what Islam teaches us, that you betray the land you are born and raised and nurtured on it, and you still hate that land? You may say, I disagree with this foreign policy, with this president, with the State Department, with the Pentagon. I agree with you. We all disagree with them. Even American, white Americans, they don't want Barack Obama. They don't want the Republicans. They don't want the State Department. But when you say death to America, this is a crime. This is disloyalty to your religion. Islam teaches us that build wherever you go, whatever land it is. Al-Ardhu Lillah, the owner of that land is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The governor of that land is Allah. Build it. Build peace and love and respect. With chanting death to this and death to there, we will get to nowhere. To nowhere. We will create ISIS. We will create mayhem in our communities. This is not the message of Islam. The message of Islam is based on togetherness, on peace, on getting our religion to others and tell them, this is my Islam. This is full of love and compassion and mercy. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. How many times we say Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim? Allah has many names. Look at his names here. But we choose these two. Among all the 99 names, we choose Ar-Rahman, the most merciful, the most compassionate. Where are Muslims today from mercy and compassion? So we have to confront this. We have to have zero tolerance. If you see in an individual or a group or a place or an association some tendencies towards radicalism, you have to identify them. You have to eject them. This is a disease. This is a virus. If you don't confront this virus, it will attack you and attack your family and your children. One day you will see your son on Facebook carrying the gun somewhere. He tells you, I'm going to Hawaii for a vacation, and you find him in northern Iraq, in Mosul, or in northern Syria, or in Yemen, or in Saudi Arabia. This is a reality. We have to speak to our children. We have to tell them, this is the message of Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We have to tell them, Allah put us in this country, so let's build it. Let's bring them. Let's do islah. Okay, you hate this president, you hate this government. Do your job. You bring peace. We have to bring peace. It's our duty. We are peacemakers and peace builders. We have to reach out to others. We have to show them. Do you know my friends? Do you know my friends, mu'mineen? We lost only in Egypt because of what Ikhwan al-Muslimin did to the country, to the system, to the people. 1 million Egyptian youth who were Muslims, today they say we are not Muslims. We don't like Islam. I'm not Muslim anymore. 1 million of them in Egypt. Under the rule of a fanatic called Muhammad Mursi, who ruled only for 1 year. Who ruled only for 1 year. The result of that, his rule, he did not build Egypt, no good economy, no good health system, no good education, and we had a casualty of 1 million Egyptians. They say, we are not Muslim. If this is Islam, I'm not a Muslim. We are losing our children. We are losing huge generation in many countries. We have to go back to aql and reason. ادعو الى سبيل ربك بالحكمه بالحكمه, with wisdom. والموعظه الحسنه, be nice, be good. By slitting the throat of this or that, you are not helping Islam. You are destroying Islam. People are not going to respect you. People are not going even to live. Even if you are a prophet of God, people say, this prophet we don't like. This is a barbaric prophet. He's not a human being. We have to establish this internal dialogue with our children before it is too late. In every school, in every masjid, we have to forewarn them against radicalism. Don't be radical. This is a virus. This is a sickness, mental sickness. Follow the Quran. Follow your imams. You have 12 imams. Which one of them was violent? Tell me, which imam was violent? Or the Prophet was violent? Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah says about the Prophet, وَمَا أَرْسَلْنَاكَ إِلَّا رَحْمَةً لِلْعَالَمِينَ. You are mercy and forgiveness and love to all mankind, all mankind. This is our example. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. وَالْعَصْرِ إِنَّ الْإِنسَانَ لَفِي خُسْرٍ إِلَّا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ وَتَوَاصُوا بِالْحَقِّ وَتَوَاصُوا بِالصَّبْرِ. اللهم اغفر للمؤمنين والمؤمنات والمسلمين والمسلمات الأحياء منهم والأموات. تابع اللهم بيننا وبينهم بالخيرات إنك مجيب الدعوات. وعجل في فرج سيدنا ومولانا صاحب العصر والزمان. وإلى أرواح المؤمنين والمؤمنات نهدي للجميع ثواب الفاتحة مع الصلاة على محمد وآل محمد.